Jack, man. I'm proud of you.
For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. I have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything is exposed by the light. Become visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you will live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to... Instead, he filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the God, the Father, for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Excellent. Good job, buddy. And he says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18.
You have not come to a mountain that can be touched as burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it would be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names were written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they do not escape when they refused him who warned them on the earth, how much less will we, if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more that I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so, worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire.
All right. Good job, man. Thanks. Excellent. Do you know where that story came from? You do not come to a mountain that is shaking, lightning. You know where that comes from? Exodus, the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were on their way out to the desert and to go into the Holy Land. How many have ever been in an earthquake? Okay. I'm raising my hand because I was in one. But it's really kind of like saying how many have been in a car accident. You know, I mean, some people have really been in a bad car accident, almost to the point of death. I had a fender bender. You know, not really a bad deal. But the earthquake that I was involved in, I was on the fourth story of a building in Ohio working on a computer for a guy because my job was selling them. And I just felt this rumble. I'm like, what's that? I didn't even know what it was until later on. Said, hey, that was an earthquake. Really? Didn't bother me much. I wasn't scared because it didn't really bother me that big, you know. But could you imagine standing at the base of a huge mountain in the dark, with on top of the mountain lightning flashing, just almost like mix an earthquake with like a hurricane? And then all of a sudden, everything starts to shake. Moses, it says, knew God. He had seen him. He had met him. He communed with him. And it says that Moses was scared to death. And he knew him. Unfortunately, we don't have that kind of fear today. And the sad part is we should. We should understand that judgment is coming. And we should have a healthy respect for it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. All right. Guys, gals, whatever, you can scoot. Kids. Salary, you only get paid on what you sell. The nice thing was, is when I sold, I got a 10% commission, which meant that if I sold $5,000 worth of stuff, I got... Very good. See, you could go into that business too. If I sold $10,000, I get what? $1,000. If I sold... My record month was $340,000. Yeah, so in 1 month I made $34,000. Isn't that nice? Yeah, that didn't happen all the time, but it was fun. It was enjoyable. So I get what I could always look, and my job was to work. And whatever I did, I got paid for. Aren't you glad in the business of Jesus, we don't get paid for how well we achieve? We're coming up far, far short. Huh? Coming up with a lot of excuses why he should be giving us anyway, even though we didn't come through. Isn't that true? So prayer requests. We want to remember several people in the church. Sharon, I heard this boom back there, and I saw my two guys get up. Hey, how did you like the pictures of the Israelis that were standing there with their guns? Or, you know, isn't that cool? It's pretty neat. Well, they're too close together. Well, they weren't fighting. They were actually, thank you, Brett. Appreciate that. Yeah. And the old standard comb and cooler. All right. I'm keeping him frozen. He's cold-hearted. I'm keeping him frozen because I'm going to cook him on Thursday. I got another twin just like him at home in the freezer. We're going to fry up a couple of these things. How many of you are going to have turkey on Thursday? How many of you are going to have a turkey dinner on Thursday? Okay. How many are not sure? Yeah, I look at John back there going, are you cooking one? His wife goes, I thought you were doing the cooking. Yeah. So most of y'all are going to have turkey. I don't know about how many of you hate turkey. I hate turkey. I don't care for turkey at all. I'm like, it's good. I think it all happened because when my son graduated from high school, I had bought that turkey fryer, and I fried up 5 turkeys. I got so sick of it, it's like I don't want to taste it anymore. But neither here nor there, I'll eat it. It's traditional. We're doing it because of tradition, and that's good enough. Our families are all going to get together, one big kind of get-together, and it'll be fun. We'll spend my day with Gemma. It'll be nice. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you, if you had to catch, kill, and prepare this bird, would eat Thanksgiving turkey on Thursday? There's a few of you tough guys. You'd handle it. Okay, I love it. That's why I like this church, you know? I love my tough guys. It's totally different when you got to prepare it. It's easy when you go to the store and you buy it. All I did is I watched the newspapers, and newspapers came out and tell me how much per pound. And I found a Winn-Dixie, it was on sale for 49 cents a pound. And when I bought some, it's all right. It's better than paying $2 a pound, right? I save money. We went, you know about our hunting expedition when Galen was blessed with a hog hunt and by a man who takes care of people who have been in the military. And I appreciate Galen as he got the guy to invite me along, you know. And we're going to be talking about maybe doing a church hog hunt. So if you're interested, let me know because we'll go do that. It'll cost money, but that's all right. But the interesting thing is we went south to Punta Gorda. We had a great day. We got down there at about 1 o'clock. And they have what is down there called the lodge. Just simply called the lodge. I was not expecting digs like this. It was beautiful. I mean, it had four bedrooms upstairs with at least three beds in each bedroom. They had a pool table, and they had a foosball table. They had like a 13-foot gator laying out there. And on the wall surrounding the kitchen and living area, they had all these critters hanging, you know? Deer heads with great big buck horns on it. I'd already seen that at Galen's house. I mean, after he shot that 8-point in Georgia, he's got to figure out what he's got to move to make room for it, you know? Me? 13-point. Because the points matter.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'll never forget the time, a little sideline. You probably heard this before if you've been around long enough. My daughter was in like 9th grade, Calla. And we can talk about her because she's not here. But we're sitting at a steakhouse, and they had all these critters on the wall. And she looked up and she goes, "How many points is that one, Daddy?" So I looked at her and I said, "Count them." And she went, "Oh!" She thought it was like a system of points, not 1, 2, 3, 4 horns. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You didn't find that funny. But so all of these critters are up there, and they even had hides on the wall from different kind of critters, from fox and different kinds of things that they had trapped out there. So it was just like a man's place to go. It's pretty cool. I got to thinking about Thanksgiving after the fact and this whole idea of what would happen if you were to have to kill your own. And when I looked around there, I didn't notice any turkey heads. You don't do a turkey head. As a matter of fact, what do you usually mount? The tail and the beard. The Tom has a beard. It's like a long beard that goes down in front. They usually take and they mount the tail end and the beard from the front end, and that's what you see. Because face it, turkeys are ugly. Come on. Turkeys are really ugly. But I wanted to kind of somehow relate and remind you of this upcoming day. So hopefully I can get you to have this visual for Thanksgiving. And so I'm going to kind of take apart the turkey and help you to remember when you see this thing on Thursday that you kind of remember where you come from and be more thankful because of it. Now, whenever you're going to dress a turkey or prepare it in order to eat it, what's the very first thing you got to do?
Feather.
What?
Wash it.
Get the feathers off.
Whatever you do, wash it.
What? Oh, come on. I can't believe you guys. Hey, how many here raise their head? How many raise their hand saying that I would dress my own turkey and ask you what's the very first thing you do? What? Thank you. From the butcher himself. Hey, by the way, if you want some meat, go see Bread at Publix down there. But look, the first thing you got to do is you got to cut the head off. You got to take the head off the turkey. Now, there's several ways to do that, none of which we're going to really get into right now. I read some pretty interesting ones online. One is the ring, and the other is all kinds of ways. We don't get into that. But the very first thing that the turkey has to have done to it before you can even start the process of possibly eating it is it's got to lose its head. Now, what is your head? What do you use with your head? Your what? Your brain. Your brain is in your head. Thank you very much. And what do you do with your brain? All your figuring. All your thinking. So the very first thing that has to happen for the turkey, he's got to lose his brain. He's got to use his thinking. Quit figuring. Because only then will he lay still. Because as long as stuff's going through his head, he's going to be about doing something other than what you want him to do. I've read that sometimes these turkeys get up to be like 90 pounds, and if you don't have a system whereby you get that head off of there or kill it quickly, it can be a really tough experience as they flap around and beat you half to death. All right? So the first thing has to happen, and as you're reminded when you're looking at this turkey on Thursday, there's no head. What's Satan want to do to you?
Kill
He wants you to stop figuring. He just wants you to just kind of go mosey along. Don't think so much. Don't worry about it. Chill. It's not that bad. Or he wants you to be thinking too much, which is what I think we're starting to see even more so in this country. The world has lost its mind over this COVID thing. I'm just saying it. We've always had germs. We've always had flu. We've always had colds. I've yet to be proven at any time in anything, in any way, that you wearing some cloth mask is going to protect you from getting it. I've done a lot of research. I work for a microbiological firm. I haven't found anything that says if you wear a cloth mask over your face, you will not get COVID. It is not true. As BJ sits there going, you can't get me. I'm just having fun at your expense. The point is, it doesn't work that way. But we act as if we're afraid because we don't understand or we don't know. What does God want you to do with your head? He wants you to think. He doesn't expect you to believe by just your faith alone. It's a reasonable faith. He says, look, you know what's going on in your life. You know that you are a sinner. You know that you're not perfect. And because of that, you need to put two and two together in your brain and answer the question, where do you think you're going to go? I asked somebody this week, if you were to die today, would you know for certain you're going? They went out the back door, Frankie. I think she's taking them out. Would you know for certain you're going to heaven? He goes, I hope so. I didn't ask you that. I said, do you know for certain? Well, I hope so. He didn't understand the question. Because you see, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. He took all of my sins upon himself, the perfect sacrifice, and he died for my sins. And putting those two and two together, that number in my head, I put two and two together and it said, if I'm a sinner, I'm deserving of the lake of fire. I have no excuse, no argument. There's nothing I can say. I need a Savior. And I put two and two together and I figured I need that Savior and I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I received Him as my Lord and Savior, and that was a long time ago and He's never let me down. Okay, so see that turkey and be thankful that you still got your head. God wants you thinking. What's the next thing that has to happen? What's the next thing that happens when you're cleaning the turkey? I'm giving you guys all this experience. Some of you said it. You got to take the feathers off of it. You got to take the feathers off of it. How do they do that? Usually they boil it. They dip it down in really hot water.
That's
and they
just take the head off first. You use the head and dip it down in there. Yes. That's true.
Well, I thought they used
you
the legs.
Then you dip it, then you head it.
That's not what the professional turkey site said. So you must be able to. Okay, there's a couple ways to go.
He's right. I've seen how they did it.
Okay. Look at this. Come to church. Listen. Come to church to get an argument on how to butcher a turkey. Look. Here's the thing. Let's just take this in a way that makes sense regardless. You got to take the feathers off. You got to take the feathers off. You ain't going to cook it with the feathers on. You can skin it. And here's it. The turkey doesn't have a head, and now it doesn't have a hide. It got no hair. It's hairless. It's got no fur. It's got no feathers. That's the skin that's holding it all together. What do we got for the skin? It's the skin. It's the outside of our bodies where we have our feeling, right? First time is we're doing our figure in our head. It's our skin with which we feel. Isn't it nice to know that we don't have leprosy in the world today like they used 2 years ago? Because that was a horrible disease people would get. They literally would put themselves if they were anywhere near a fire and their body was near fire, they couldn't feel their members burning off. We have the reaction. It's instantaneous. If you get burned, I was ironing this morning and I just grabbed the iron real quick and I bumped the wrong side. Instantaneous like that. No. Our feelings are there for a purpose. Unfortunately, what does Satan want to do with your feelings? He wants you to feel bad about yourself. He wants you to feel like you're not worthy. And he's right, you're not. But he wants you to keep on focusing on making the feeling better, even though you know it's bad. So what's he want to do? What a lot of people do? They put their time and effort into overcoming that feeling. Drugs, alcohol, internet TV, dancing. I'm kidding you. I'm messing with you. You thought I was serious, huh, Olivia? You thought I was serious. Oh, I'm going to heaven. No. Look, welcome to the family, right? We spend most of our time dealing with what we're feeling, don't we? That was one of the excuses I got today from somebody. We're not feeling good. I'm 65 years old. How many will say to me, I don't ever feel good? I never feel good. I learned that years ago from a Vietnam veteran, decorated war hero, lieutenant officer in the Marines. I said, how are you doing today? I'm tired. He said, I'm always tired. As if I was a moron. I'm always tired. That doesn't stop me. It doesn't slow me down. I don't hardly ever feel good. But what does Jesus want us to do? He wants to put our feelings aside and put our faith over our feelings. Figure that we need him and then put our faith ahead of our feelings. What's the next thing that happens to a turkey? Well, cut his feet off. Cut his feet off. I mean, you know, my wife tells me that I got some nice calves here. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know why I showed you. But look, one thing that you're never going to see in a hunting lodge is a turkey calf hanging up on the wall. Why? They want them off. They cut them off. Because you know what? The feet aren't there. What do you use with your feet? What's the purpose of your feet? To walk. It's your fetching. You got your figuring. You got your feeling. Now you get your fetching. Galen doesn't do near the bad things he used to do because he can't run around and do them anymore. It's too much work. It's work to get yourself from one place to the other. In the old days of partying, running here to there and there, it's just not possible anymore. But what do with our lives? We run to and fro. We go from here, we go to there. Notice that turkey on Thursday got no head. He's got no thinking. He's got no figuring. He's got no skin, so he's got no feeling anymore. He's got no feet, so he ain't going to be fetching anything anymore. What's Satan want to do to you? Cut off your head, take off your skin, cut off your feet, and keep you paralyzed here, never able to do anything for Jesus. What's the very last thing that you do? You take the guts out, yeah. What's part of the guts? The heart. Thank you, the heart. What?
It's not much in there. It's like a string.
It's a little tiny thing. It's not much. Yeah. Describe it for us, Jay, so these women can throw up in the church. Right. There you go.
I saw a bearded hen, so I opened mine up and there was an egg in it. And it had a beard, too.
Yeah, you literally asked if I put an egg in there.
What's going on here?
I'm holding out.
Hey, if you want to find strange, come to church. But that, no matter what happens, your heart's there. Your heart. That is what. What? Guys, come on, man. Stop. This is your fancy. You see how gross these guys can get? Look. Just come hunting with me and we'll talk about that out there. But this is your fancy. This is what you really want. And I'm going to ask you, what is it you really want? What is it you really, truly want? Because I have found in life that we can get really, really sidetracked, can't we? I don't want to go to church because I might get sick. I can't even tell you how that bothers me. Because you want to know something? I love Jesus more than anything on this planet. And I'm not judging you if you feel that way. I'm just saying for me, I will never say that. I will never say that. My faith in Jesus Christ supersedes everything in my life. I would rather die than not worship my God and to thank Him and to praise Him and to serve Him, even though it's dealing with the likes of you, who I love and I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
What does he want? What are you trying to achieve? Because you know what? We already know that a bigger house, a bigger bank account, a nicer car, a better job, a better wife or husband, it doesn't matter. It's not going to get you to where your heart is right. Because the heart is from the inside out, not from the outside in. I am amazed at the lack of faith. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday. I'm not going to tell you who it is because I'm going to surprise you. But this person has learned something. A long time ago, I had a private conversation with this person, and I told him, if you continue to do what you're doing, this is probably what's going to happen. Yesterday, I had the meeting. Guess what happened? Yes. Now, was I there to rub his face in it and say, I told you so? No, because I've been through it myself. I've learned all those lessons the hard way. I know what it's like to hoard your money and hold on to it because you think that you can't afford it when Jesus said, give it anyway. I know what it's like to just say, you know what, I'm not going to go to church on Sunday because I don't feel very good. And I know what comes from that after it becomes a habit. Now, yesterday's meeting was not bad. It was a celebration because he said, you know what, I learned my lesson. We all have to learn them. Faith is a thing. Faith is a substance. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Isn't it interesting that the two verses of Scripture that these two young men read, one of them had the whole business of lightning, thunder, and blood. We don't like to talk about blood because it's so awful. But the whole reason we're saved is because God bled. And that fear and the direct punishment of judgment is there. I'm not going to say that our country is coming under judgment because of what we've done, but I can't say that it's not, right, Don? We're praying that this whole thing works out. Because America's in danger. We're in trouble. We're going down a slippery slope. We were founded on Jesus Christ and the Word of God. We need to stay there. But look. Are we praying for that? Are we working for that? Are we staying in there, staying in the game? So we got our head, which is our figuring. We got our hide or hair, which is our feeling. We got our hoofs, which is our fetching. And we got our heart, which is our fancy, what we want. I'm going to tell you, I've wanted all kinds of things in my life, and I'm going to wrap this up real quick. There's only one thing that ever satisfied me, and that's Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. It's the only one that's ever been faithful, even when I thought he wasn't. Put him first. Put Jesus in your heart. Ask him to come into your life. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. I realize that there's no way for me to earn or get to heaven. And Lord, please come into my life and make me whole. Make me born again. Give me a new life inside that I might know that I'm going to, when I die, go to heaven, no matter when that may be. And help me have heaven on earth here right now so that I can have a Thanksgiving every day. So I can see things in life that I'm grateful for because of what you have given to me. And be appreciative. So I want you on Thanksgiving, I want you to remember this. Look at the turkey and remember, no head, no hair, no feet, no heart. Don't be like him. Father God, we thank you for that illustration. Help us to not have frozen insides. Help us to be grateful. And this upcoming Thanksgiving, help us to really, really understand, to appreciate best who you are and what you have done on our behalf, even when we didn't ask you to do it. And then, Lord, help us to be grateful enough to be able to willingly share the good news of Jesus Christ and his free gift to those people who don't have him or know him. Because you yourself said you are the only way, the only truth, the only way, the only life to get to God. You said it. Those are your words. I say that they're true because I realized when I was a sinner that I had to come to you. Thank you for coming into my life and filling me and stuffing me with your Holy Spirit. Help us to all have a great Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, stand.